All right. Didn't get to tease this, but it was kind of interesting. There was a story that's out, and I don't know if you guys saw it because, what is it, Mike Sanrastil, the cornerback for the Commanders. There's a new TikTok trend going around where you call the guys, all your guy friends,
yeah,
and you say goodnight.
Really?
Yeah. Joe, would you get in on this? Would you call me and say goodnight when you're going to sleep?
If that's what you'd like.
Okay.
We'll just roll over.
He gets angry when I do that.
Does he?
He
likes a little kiss on the forehead.
He likes me to be the little spoon.
Do you really love your bros if you don't give them a kiss goodnight?
No. That's true.
Hey, yeah. Everybody can laugh at me if they want. I started the thing with my buddies. I'm like, I started telling them I love them. It's something like, I know people think it sounds silly, but have somebody pass away and you didn't get to tell them how you feel about them or whatever. Yeah. Like, we do it all the time. And we always say all ditty or, you know, we make it as gay as it could possibly be for us. But I do think it's important. But this is funny to me because there's some, I ain't calling my boys and saying goodnight. What kind of nonsense is that? And everybody's like laughing about it, making fun of it. Ed, would you call a friend and say goodnight? That was a guy?
I could think about that.
Hey, baby, I'm just calling.
No, probably not.
Oh, man. It is so funny to me that this is something that people are talking about. Like, these TikTok trends are so effing stupid. The things that are going on, like, have you watched people try to do something that's supposed to be a prank and somebody wants to beat their ass? I'm all for that video. Hey, man, it's just a prank. Calm down. Well, you pranked the wrong guy. This is a you problem, my friend. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable, but these TikTok trends aren't going to slow down anytime soon. All right, let's talk about
at least that one's not dangerous.
Yeah, that one's not dangerous. This one's interesting, though. A 24-year-old in Ohio was arrested for pretending to be a high school student. The interesting thing is he only made the JV soccer team. You sorry son of a bitch. Are you kidding me? You went out at 24 years old and you could only make the JV? How ridiculous is that? This is just unbelievable. A 24-year-old suspect was arrested after allegedly posing as a teenage boy for more than a year and a half, attending high school classes, and even playing JV sports. Like, that's why I think he should go to jail. You tried out for the team as a 24-year-old and made JV. Wow. What, they didn't have a freshman team? Sorry ass. It's so funny. Perrysburg local school said it's conducting a full investigation into a highly deceptive and unusual case where a 24-year-old migrant from Venezuela enrolled at the high school using fraudulent documents and false pretenses. Anthony Labrador Sierra? Is his middle name actually a dog? Labrador? Is that a usual middle name?
I don't know.
Well, you know a little bit about everything.
Everything's a name now. It's like a sex toy. Anything can be a sex toy.
As long as you're brave enough.
Yeah. A name? Come on.
The district said it filed federal and state requirements under the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, which mandates enrollment for students experiencing homelessness or without a legal guard. The guy's 24. He doesn't need a guardian. He's his guardian. He
drives a cab to school.
What are we talking about? Yeah. He was... Like, it would have made more sense if he was pretending to be a substitute teacher like Jack Black in School of Rock. This is, come on, man. All right, this is this last story. All right, I'm just going to read the headline. Gay sex spas face unhappy ending. Thank you, New York Post. After offering sexual treats to undercover cops for less than $100, says a suit. You ever been propositioned for under $100?
Well, they give the police
and I wonder if you know this. Yeah. I wonder if you know this spa. One spa located in Times Square and another near Stuytown.
That's where I lived.
Stuytown?
Stuyvesant Town. Peter Stuyvesant was the first governor of New York. He was Dutch.
Is that Stuytown. Shortened? It's S-T-U-Y town? Stuytown?
Yeah.
So it's just named after
him. Stuyvesant. Stuy is very famous. It's ubiquitous in New York. It's common. It's like Stuyvesant Town is the apartment complex I lived before I moved to Baltimore.
So you've been to this spa.
What's the name of it? like, you know, the Billy Joel's I May Be Crazy.
Yeah.
Walk through Boston's combat zone, bent to Bedford Stuy alone.
I know Bedford Stuy. I didn't realize that's a tie in there.
It all comes from Peter Stuyvesant. Okay. Stuyvesant Town, Bedford Stuyvesant. Yeah, it's all Stuy.
He was the guy that played for the Sixers, right? Stuyvesant?
Yeah.
The answer.
Yes.
So here, listen to this. They allegedly offered undercover cops sex acts for less than $100. I wonder what you can get for that, including some including some specific acts as an a la carte option following their massages earlier this year. Maybe that's why you don't want a guy to massage you. Anyway, these establishments are flouting the law, and we're moving to shut them down, said a spokesperson, Nicola Pilucci. Preserving quality of life for New Yorkers is a priority for the city.
What's the address in the side town? Would they give one?
What name? West 44th Street. This one was clandestine officers visited the Times Square men's spa. They don't list the name of it. West 44th Street, twice in January with masseuses offering the undercover cops massage.
That's outside of city, so that's not the one. And, but either way.
Do they pose it this way? And manual stimulation of the penis for an additional $50.
I'm going to throw this out there for people. Manual stimulation. These are indoor, these are massage parlors that are brothels, right? Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Why do people care?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm dead serious. It's like, why do people care? Because I'm not buying the argument that it's because of human trafficking, because that's never been brought up until now, this current day in the history. So I'm not buying it. It's all this puritanical BS where you can't have sex unless you're going to have children or be married. Like, who cares? It's like I can't understand this. It's like, we watched Sinners the other day.
Yeah.
It was set in 1932. Prohibition ended in 33. Again, you want a drink? Go ahead. But who cares? Why was that such a crime? It's the same as possessing a kilo of heroin now. Like, why do you care?
By the way, Ed's watching that movie. He goes, that's a World War I knife. And I'm like, son of a bitch, man. He's like, I got the same knife. He knew something.
I do. And the trench knives, World War I. They were brass knuckles with a giant blade for you fighting in a trench.
So my favorite part of the first story is that the guy made the JV team. My favorite part of this story is that there's a sign in the spa that says, denied any hanky-panky. No hanky-panky, please. Keep your underpant on. Underpant on. That's the way to do it. One of the spas was named New East Men's Spa on First Avenue and East 16th Street.
That's the Stuyvesant one.
Steps from a school where officers visited in January and February. Yeah. So there you go. That's your world of stupid. Fun times. Manual stimulation of the
first.
Does that even match up?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
renting out your old house. And it's a spa there.
There was a hospital there. Beth Israel. I'm trying to think. That's where Jack was born. That hospital. 16th and 1st.
I hope it was a long labor and you got to go over to the spa for a bit. All right. We're going to talk some football. Ravens. Would you say that the Bengals versus Ravens has become a better rivalry now than the Steelers and Ravens? I think the Bengals have a gripe, too, about the schedule. We'll talk about that. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
The Bengals always got, just happen to have those type games where if you come to the bank when you see them purple lights go on and the fans are ready. I mean, they know it's a divisional game. They know it's the Bengals. They don't like us. We don't like them. And we love the atmosphere. We love playing at the bank because now we get to just tee off and have fun and have the crowd on our side as well.
Do you know that Bengals fans are upset about this? Have you heard about this?
I seen the little clip of Joe saying that he wants a game in Cincinnati on prime time.
What do you think of that?
I don't even know what their stadium is called. I just know, when you come to the bank, in prime time television, I mean, that's just somewhere nobody else want to be.
There you go. That's Isaiah Likely on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. By the way, Kay Adams is beautiful. She's one of those girls that you'd crawl through a mile of glass just to hear her fart in a telephone. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's that good looking. Right? Oh, Ed just got Ed just walked right into that. Like, what segment are we doing? That was Isaiah Likely.
Who's farting on the telephone?
I'm talking about Kay Adams. Oh, man. But no, Isaiah Likely was on the show. I thought some really interesting stuff from him. They had talked to him about being a Raven, and he's like, you know how I feel about Baltimore. Of course I want to be there.
Yeah.
When we talked about the extensions yesterday, Kyle Hamilton, Isaiah Likely, the most likely, in our opinions, to get the next extension after Derrick Henry got extended. But there was a lot of talk about Cincinnati and Baltimore and this rivalry. Has it become bigger than the Steelers, in your opinion? And on top of it, how do you feel about the Ravens getting those four straight Thursday night games against the Bengals in Baltimore? So they've played in Baltimore four consecutive times, and they're like, this on primetime, they're like, this is ridiculous. And it is. It is unfair to them.
Yeah.
If the shoe was on the other foot, we'd be bitching about it.
Absolutely.
But I'll take it. what do you feel, though? Is the rivalry? Is it becoming bigger, in your opinion?
No. It's a better matchup.
Right now.
Right now. Yes. I mean, I'll get you that. The Bengals, I think, are the toughest outs for the Ravens in that division. Easily. Yeah. And if we didn't have such a prolific offense, they would have dusted the Ravens the last couple of times. So, I mean, I just think that that offense is really powerful. And Burrow is, he is a phenomenal quarterback. He really is on a bad team.
Can I tell you what I think this is akin to? Is if we look back at the AL East in baseball,
yeah,
and the Orioles were really good the past 2 years. So we've always looked at the Yankees as our rival.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've ever looked at us as
theirs. They haven't.
Things got interesting the past 2 years where the Orioles were better than them in some situations. But the Red Sox had fallen back. They hadn't been good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could make the case over the past couple years that the Yankees-Orioles has been a better rivalry than the other two. But as a whole, no. You can't.
And I don't know if that it counts as a rivalry. And that's a great example. Because living in New York most of my life, that rivalry is so intense. I mean intense. It doesn't dissipate because one team is down. You know, having a bad time. And well, they suck now. Now we're going to focus on the Orioles, who haven't been good in forever, but now they're good. And
I'm happy you said that, because if you look back at the Steelers-Ravens rivalry, it does not matter third-string quarterback.
No.
It doesn't matter. Like, the only time it mattered is when all of the Ravens' cornerbacks got hurt and Big Ben threw 5 touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
That's the only time it's mattered. Like, look how many injuries have happened. You look at the guys that switch teams and how hated they are when they do it. I don't know.
There's so much to this in this conversation. I'm glad we should talk about this, because to me, it's much more than the one win loss record of the rivalry, who's doing that, which it matters because it means you play a lot and who's got the advantage and et cetera. But it's everything. It's all of it. It's in New York. It's you see a Boston baseball cap on somebody, like, what's up with that? Like, it's a real thing. Like, yeah. You better be from Boston or even I've fallen into this. Like, if I see a Steelers bumper sticker, I get agitated. I do. Like, it's like, and I've been 25 years, so I've become a rabid Ravens fan. But it's like, yeah. And like, I got pulled over.
You go back to 30 style. Yeah.
I got pulled over for speeding in Pennsylvania.
The coppers.
When Jack was kind of young. Yeah. We get pulled over. I'm, coming back of wherever the hell we were. And I got pulled over Pennsylvania, and the Ravens logo with the frontal face of the Raven, the one that's that was on my back of my car. The trooper comes over. He's like, "Yes, you guys going to the game today?" I was like, "No, actually." I said, "Please don't tell me you're a Steeler fan." And then we start chatting inside of the road. It was all about that. I was speeding. He just happened to see it when we walked up to the car. And it became funny. And, I showed him my police ID.
And you let him know who you were?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am in another state? No.
Yes, I did, actually. Yes. It doesn't matter. You could be in Milan, Italy. It works.
Hold on. What? Anytime I get pulled over, I'm on my way to the radio station. It doesn't matter if it's Saturday at 4 a.m. I'm on my way to the radio station. Yes.
But yeah. But I'm sure we had a fan debate on the side of the highway about the Steelers Ravens.
So in the grand scheme of things now, like right now this year, I would say it's a bigger rivalry just because I don't buy into the Steelers and their quarterback situation. By the way, what the hell is Aaron Rodgers doing? And why are you even dancing with this a-hole? Like, if you were a 40-some-year-old quarterback trying to get to a team and win your final year, right? You want to get back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you doing all this instead of showing up and working out with your teammates? Why do you need all the attention? I'm not saying he's got to be the guy that shows up, but he's playing games because he likes this. This is what he does. And I would just tell him to go pound sand. Hey, go play for the Saints.
I'm also surprised that the Steelers are doing this, because I always think of them as one of the most stable premier organizations in football. The Jets totally got the pursuit of Rodgers because they were dumpster fire. But the Steelers...
You know what? Like that, they have a good roster except for quarterback.
I know. Right. That's not the solution.
I don't think so either. But when you look at the market, you're going, all right, are we going with Mason Rudolph?
I'd go with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer over him, because you look at what he did to the Jets. I mean, I'm not blaming him for getting hurt. But all the nonsense he put them through.
Won't you lead my team tonight?
Sorry. I mean, seriously, all the nonsense he put them through. Not showing up for this, not showing up for practice, going to wherever the hell he went, a wedding instead of going to team activities.
On a dark retreat.
All stuff. All the things he did. I'm like, hey, we got it. You're different. You're cool.
Yeah.
You're really cool, Aaron. Yeah. This is your freaking job, dude. Show up. It's like, really makes me angry. And after watching what the Jets went through, you go, we got to get that guy. Like, what?
Oh, my God. It's funny to me because, like, I remember when Aaron Rodgers had come out and everybody's talking about him, like, oh, man, he's awesome. He's this and that. And then they had that incident at the airport where he didn't sign an autograph for a little old lady with cancer.
Yes.
And then Clay Matthews goes up and signs it. And everybody's like, well, maybe that was taken out of context. Yeah. And I'm like, that's fair because we don't know really what went on. And now I believe it. Like, they said, oh, Aaron Rodgers' family doesn't talk to him. They're a-holes. And I'm like, oh, that's messed up. They don't. Oh, I wouldn't talk to him either if I was related to him because he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, man.
Yes. Speaking of autographs.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell the story because I thought it was funny. Like, so Nick and Glenarm, he used to bust my balls on the afternoon show. Nick, if you're out there, feel free to call in. Funny dude. He was like, oh, I hope you weren't upset at anything. I was like, no, man. If you're funny, you're funny. But he had Ed autograph like 40 pieces of memorabilia, and I'm just sitting back there listening behind Ed, and I hear him say, this is going to go for a good price. Like, Ed's got to be over there. It's kind of son of a bitch going to make money off my name, and I can't even make money off this damn name. What the hell's going on?
It's just, I'm like, listen, I've had 3 surgeries in 11 months.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of overwhelming medical bills I have?
Trust me, man.
People are like, we have insurance. Yeah, well, they cover everything. Yeah. It's like, I have these crushing bills in my life right now. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Like, these are going to fetch a good price. I'm like,
uh-oh. This is so funny. He did have some good stuff, though. He definitely
it was
had
all these great wire memorabilia he had.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he even had some of your throw-up. You autographed the bag.
Yes. So,
no. Anyway, all right. We got to step out. We're going to talk some college football. We got Shovels coming up at 7:45. The college football playoff will switch to a straight seeding, giving the top 4 teams a bye according to record. Is this a smart move? Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. We discuss next on The Fan. All right, talk a little college football. The college football playoff will switch to straight seeding, giving the top 4 teams a bye according to record. Is it a smart move? Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Now, Ed, this, I think it is a smart move, but is it going to be like the top 4 seeds or should usually be the power conference teams, right? Like Boise State got a bye last year.
Yeah.
But even if you're if you're undefeated and you're in the top 4, you go then? That's how they're going to do this? Because the reseeding and all the stuff that went on, I didn't think we got the great matchups we wanted in the playoff last year. I loved the playoff, but it felt like when you were looking at it, I'm going, man, Penn State's got a run right here. They've got it set up to get to the championship. Yeah. They just have to knock off a beaten up Georgia team. And they did everything they were supposed to do to get there. I think we're still going to see the usual suspects in there, but with the expanded playoff, you now have an opportunity where the little guys can get in to say, hey, we deserve to be here. And year after year, we don't know that, Ed. Like, everybody was screaming about Hawaii the one year. They played Georgia in a bowl game and lost, 35-0? People scream about Boise every year, and Utah made the run. I think that Utah team was one of the best teams I've seen from what we would deem to be a smaller school, even though they're now in a power conference, right? Technically. Back then, they were in the Mountain West.
The whole college system in sport is a little, which certainly up for debate, because you have these conferences, you have some that are loaded. There's Power 5 conferences, and then there's Power 5 conferences, you know, it's particularly in football. So it's like, especially now they're getting so, the whole thing has just got to, I think it needs a whole gutting and revamping, in my opinion, because it's gotten to be, how many teams are in the Big Ten now?
18? There should be 10, right?
There should be 10.
No, yeah. there's like 18.
18, I think. Like, I don't even remember, and I'm not playing.
None of the numbers on
14,
any.
None of the numbers matter anymore. The regions don't matter anymore. Like, it's Southeast Conference. Really? Are all the teams from the Southeast of the United States? Used to be a Southwest Conference. That's where Arkansas played.
Texas A&M.
That's where they played. Like, geography doesn't matter. Numbers don't matter. It's all about money. This is stupid.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like the beginning of basketball. Did you see basketball?
Uh-uh.
Where he's like, the Lakers moved to the Minneapolis Lakers moved to L.A. where there are no lakes.
It's so funny. You said I got to stop for a second. I don't interrupt you, but I'm gonna. When I was making fun of the Chicago Sky and whoever, when you were making fun of the Valkyrie, mm-hmm. how many Valkyries are in California? I was like, how many lakes are in Los Angeles? Yeah. I didn't say it, but I'm like, that's how much jazz is there in Utah?
But that's like, the other thing that they did. They said the New Orleans Jazz moved to Utah where they don't allow music.
Right. Yes. I'm sorry. Go back.
No, but that was the whole gist of it. It's like, you know, players changing teams. It's the guy holding up the sign saying, I'm so happy to be playing for Minnesota. And the guy's like, Miami. Like the Snickers commercial.
Well, they're Dodgers. They didn't have streetcars. That was from Brooklyn where they dodged streetcars. That's where the name came from.
Is it?
Yes.
You know how things get lost in translation? You ever heard somebody say cold as hell?
Yes, it's cold as hail.
I just found that out this week. I'm like, and you can understand why it got messed up over time. Yeah. It's supposed to be cold as hail.
Right.
It's cold as hail. Maybe it was just a hillbilly thing.
Well, you would think it was a hillbilly thing. Yeah.
But no, like getting back to the college football playoff, well, I do think this makes it better.
Tough road to hoe? It's not, it's row.
Row to hoe.
It's a tough row to hoe.
It's a tough hoe to row. She's not very good. Her arms are tired. Mom's spaghetti or something. No, but with the reseeding, like, or I'm sorry, the top four going, do you think that's a better option than just picking like the conference winners that you think are the best? Because what if the two best teams in the country are in the same conference?
They're usually going to be. And they're going to come from the SEC or the Big Ten. That's just it now.
This goes back to everything I've said about divisions and conferences. Yeah. It's all overblown about, oh, if they win, they should get this. And I get it. You're setting it up for that. But if every team in your conference sucks and you dominate and the other side's got teams that have been beating each other's ass all season long.
Which is exactly what goes on.
Like, what? Why are you going to tell me this team's better than that team because everybody sucked over here?
Yeah. I mean, it's just this. I love this. I like this topic. I like the rivalry topic because, you know, I want to continue with this. We can during the show. But it's like, yeah, I do think the best team should go in and it should be a record, you know, a strength of schedule, things like that. Because when you're in the SEC, you're in the Big Ten, you're playing the best teams in the country all the time. And I don't care if they're even because, you know what, middling teams in the SEC and Big Ten are better than teams in other conferences who win their divisions.
Those teams storm the field when they beat the middling teams in other conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to understand that. And it's not like, I don't want to be the guy saying, oh, the little guy can't do anything. No, because we're all for it. We want to see that run sometimes, but it has to be right. It has to, like, all the years that people were pounding the pavement for Boise State, and then they finally beat Oklahoma, and it was a down Oklahoma team. And I say this all the time, they won on the Statue of Liberty play, if you remember correctly. They ran that, and everybody's like, what the hell was that? You hadn't seen anything like it? The guy's hand in the air, the ball behind his back. It's just, it's one of those things where people are going to say, hey, I told you so, because they beat a big power school. But they should every once in a while. Like, this is football. Weird things happen.
Well, look, Michigan's back. Well, they were back now. I don't know about now, but under Harbaugh, they came back.
Mm-hmm.
And but, so did the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, was that, did they go away because Michigan was, you know, down?
No,
of course not. They're still important. And then
they beat them.
Well, they finally beat them. But I'm just saying, like, when you look at these conferences, like, you get Georgia, Alabama, all these schools there, Auburn and Florida, they're good all the time, even when they're not good. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're always going to be better than most schools, even when they're having a down year. A school like Boise State, I'm never going to buy into, or not anytime soon. Because we went through this with UCF, we went through it with Boise State, we've gone through it with a whole bunch of these schools.
You still talk to anybody graduating from Central Florida, they tell you they were the national champions.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, you know, South Florida State. I think what USF did was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They were a brand new football program. They became a ranked team. It's Florida. You could pick anybody off the street. It's like,
hey, you can run a 40 right fast.
So it's like, but I mean, they did a great job, but they're still not in the same category, Ohio State or Michigan or, you know, USC or Alabama. They're just not.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk more about this later. We've got some cool stuff coming up. Jake Smith's we're going to have him in studio talk some boxing, more NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. We've got Orioles coming up, but up next, we're doing Shovels, Ed. Who gets yours?
I'm going to stick with what I had the other day. I don't know where people, either you were raised wrong or you have to take a driving test again. My jaw drops almost on a daily basis around here. It really does. For the simplest stuff.
It is incredible. All right. We'll do Shovels when we come back. I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. All right. Welcome back. Time for Shovels. Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris here. Rob Long back on Tuesday. Ed, let's start it off. Who gets your shovel?
Discourteous drivers. And this is like, we talk about this often. We all seem to have, the three of us have stories about them because it happens so often. This is a minor one. it wasn't dangerous, but it was like really pissed me off. And I bet it happens to a lot of people, and I don't understand why. I left, I don't even remember why. I was going down south on Falls Road. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get a slice of pizza, trying to get to Pepe's parking lot. They were doing construction there. Shocker. So they got the, you know, the holding traffic up and the like. So I'm waiting with my signal, my left turn signal on to pull into the drive, the parking lot. And traffic's being held up. So as I'm trying to do it, a car is coming, female woman driving. She pulls up, not even all the way, there's plenty of space. She pulls up and just blocks me from getting into the lot. And she's got like a car length ahead of her. And I'm looking at her, and she's avoiding my gaze, and I'm trying to get her attention. Like, I don't start hitting my horn to be that guy, but I'm like, Mike, what are you doing? So there was a car behind her, another woman driving a Volvo, I think, blue Volvo. She sees what went on. She waves at me. She backs her car up. Now I got to go around this selfish asshat and get into the lot. I'm like, why would you do that?
Because it's convenient for them and not for you.
And it wasn't even inconvenient for her because she could have pulled up and let me in. But she chooses not to do that because it's like, well, I'm sitting here. This is where I'm sitting, and you're going to have to wait. I'm like, no, like just common courtesy. Like, what is up with people?
I'm having an issue because like I can't stop saying things and making faces when I see stuff. Like went into a little parking lot picking up some lunch. I don't mind. I was picking up chips and queso from Chipotle. I was getting in my spaceship and that's what I wanted. So don't judge me. But I pull into the parking lot there and there's a car taking up three parking spots, parked sideways. And I'm like, dude, the hell are you doing? Like, how easy is it to pull into one of those spots? And oh, by the way, if you wanted to take up three spots, why wouldn't you go to the back of the effing parking lot instead of right here in the front of the store? So I'm staring at him. He's looking at me. I'm staring at him. And I just kind of give him the, what are you doing? And then yesterday I'm leaving, or 2 days ago I'm leaving here. And I think he's probably still in the parking lot. The guy that, the MDOT guy, driving that little,
right,
whatever the hell that thing is. He pulls up to the light. Light just changed, turned red. He's turning right. Won't turn. There's not a sign that says no turn on red. Right. There's nobody coming up Falls Road. That light takes forever.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there's road work being done. So when cars are coming, they aren't stopping. They just keep going. I lay on my horn. Doesn't move. I hit it again. Doesn't move. I hit it two more times. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep honking my horn. So might as well stop. He never turned. Never turned until the light turned green. It's just like, I just think some people out there, does he have to turn? No, but it's just inconsiderate. It's very easy to move up too when you can see somebody's trying to turn and you're blocking a lane, but people don't pay attention to it. My shovel goes to, well, it's somebody on Twitter yesterday named @retiredNFLers. And I hope you are listening. The first thing I asked Ed when I got in the morning was, did we say anything wrong about Jim Irsay yesterday? Were we inconsiderate about anything? Were we making fun of him? Like, what? Did you feel that at all?
No. I mean, I made fun of him in a complimentary lighthearted way. I mean, I did.
About a feat? Yeah. Like,
well, dude. I said, well, because everybody knew he drank a lot. And people were talking about it. You know, disliked him, liked him, whatever. I said, how bad a guy could he say? Good guy to me. He liked to drink and he liked pretty feet.
So, with that being said, well, you didn't get tagged in it. I did.
Oh.
Give it, and I didn't respond on social media because I know I'm giving you some attention here.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving you the attention on there and letting everybody see what you wrote. Because now then I gotta answer questions. Oh, what did you say about Irsay? I didn't say anything. In fact, when I first brought his name up, I said it's gonna be horrible because most people in Maryland or Baltimore hate him, a good portion, because of his dad and everything that went on. And I said they're also gonna bring up the issue he had with pills and drugs and things like that. And his tweets. I thought he was great when he was tweeting. He was funny. And even like some of the things that he tweeted out, you pointed out there are a lot of song lyrics.
A lot of them.
People would read it and go, what the hell is he talking about Puerto Ricans for?
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's just a song.
It's a Rolling Stones song.
So he said all that, read those things. We had a couple of laughs. We didn't say anything derogatory about him. We didn't say anything negative. So they send me that. Give it a rest. Many of us are mourning a friend. Your comments are inappropriate and hurtful. Then they tag me in something later with someone said, whatever you've heard about his kindness and big heart, multiply it by 1,000. See you on the other side. And then they tagged me in the picture. I didn't say anything negative about him, you idiot. Like, what are you even talking about? This is what pisses me off.
This is what
that
people hear.
People want to get offended by whatever.
They wait to be offended all day.
Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. I didn't say anything negative about the guy at all. I read his tweets. I talked about what he did. And we even asked callers to call in. I think what I heard on the other shows, hey, if you hated Jim Irsay, give us a call. Did you tag them too?
Yeah.
Asshat.
You know, it's funny. If anybody would have liked him here, it would be you.
I did like him.
Yeah.
And I got vilified for it in this city because I was a Peyton Manning fan.
Right.
I thought he was funny. I thought the tweets were great.
Yeah.
He had some issues, but a lot of people in this city didn't like him just because of his dad. Hell, I remember the first time going to an NFL draft. You can tell what a sarcastic prick I was when I was a kid or younger. When I first got into radio, I wore a Peyton Manning thing to a draft party we were having at the old radio station I worked at. And some guy came up to me and goes, how dare you wear that? And I went, what? He goes, how dare you wear that jersey? My dad died for that jersey. I said, I got mine at Shank and Tittle for $80. So what are you doing coming up to me talking about what I'm wearing? Like, screw you, buddy. I didn't know your dad. I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know the old Colts. I didn't grow up with them.
How'd he die for the jersey, too?
You know. Like, people just want to get so emotional. Ugh. And I wasn't having it that day, so it didn't go over well. But this stuff, like, people listen and hear what they want to hear and then go on social media and then say, this is what you said. And it's weird. The more people that see it, you got to respond to it. And before you know it, you're just going back and forth all freaking day. And it's annoying. All right, let's grab some callers here. We've got Antonio's in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
TGIF and PYT.
Yes, sir.
It was great to see you guys yesterday.
We had a good time, took some pictures, man. Had a few drinks, a few laughs.
Is Allie Rutschman's performance the key to the Orioles turnaround? Have a wonderful weekend, guys.
Look, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, a big part for sure.
I mean, when you're talking about your best players, Buck Showalter went on with, I believe it was Ryan Ripken, and he was asked about Adley. He goes, that guy's going to be fine. He goes, if you guys don't want him, there are plenty of other teams that would take him. I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I heard Ryan play that clip. Repeat that clip. Yeah,
it's nice to hear. But yeah, I do think that's a big part of it. Yeah. Getting healthy. But again, it's not just hitting. It's pitching too. It's both of them. Yeah. You figure out which one's more messed up. It's probably hitting right now. But
and I agree with Adley, the Adley comment by Buck. I'm like, he didn't forget how to play baseball. He's having a bad time.
But because of the last year and this year.
He was injured
year,
last year. I don't know if it's carried over. Something going on. It'll be fixed. And do you want to see him in another uniform when he's batting 290 and hitting 32 bombs and like, really?
And by the way, so many people keep going, they should have drafted Bobby Witt. If you draft Bobby Witt, you don't get Gunner.
Right.
You don't get Gunner. Maybe you get another good player there.
I heard a caller say it yesterday. Same thing. It's like, you should get rid of it. He goes, I would give up Adley and Gunner for Bobby Witt.
That's stupid.
He said that yesterday on the midday show, I believe.
Well, let's grab Mike in Baltimore. He's got a shovel. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
I'm sorry, I missed. I wanted to see you at this fair yesterday, man. I'm sorry, I missed it. But my shovel goes out to people that park in the electric vehicle spots at the malls that don't have electric cars. Man, it's hassle enough having an electric vehicle. I'm sitting there in this car right now trying to stay awake while I'm charging for 2 hours. And you go to a mall or Giant or something, and then you got people, you might be on a low or whatever, well, regardless of that. You got people parking regular cars in there, man, and
Mike, stop complaining. Just get one of those really long extension cords. You can still drive around the neighborhood with it if it's charged in.
Man, I live in a Hunt Valley on the from eighth here. Floor, so.
man.
They park in electric vehicles, and I can see, I was proud of my city, man. They got like about 5 chargers on the Life Street Pavilion side. That's prime spots, and I can see this summer some hassles. People are going to be parked in there without electric vehicles, man.
Let me tell you, though, I'm going to give you the other side, Mike. I hear what you're saying. I'm sick of all these special spots.
Yeah.
I mean this. I hope the hate stuff comes. You pull into pick a parking lot now. Pick a store. It could be Dick's Sporting Goods, a grocery store,
Safeway.
Anywhere. The spots near the this
the closest ones.
There's 10 handicap spots. There's a couple of veteran spots. There's pregnant mom spots.
That's the one I use.
There's the There's the curbside pickup spots now. I'm not exaggerating. There's probably 30 spots that are taken up, and they're always empty. Except the handicap. There'll be a couple of people in there who sprinted. There was a guy who pulled in a handicap spot. I'm sorry.
You're good.
He comes out. He looks like a triathlete. He's got two bikes strapped to the back of his truck. I'm like, what's your handicap? Exactly. Yeah. You could kick my ass. I'm looking at him. I'm like, this guy's ripped.
My dad left his handicap tag in the car he gave us. He goes, hey, I just leave that in there. I said, I'm not using that. I don't want to explain that. I don't want to get out of a car or take somebody's spot that needs it. I'm perfectly fine to walk a little ways. But yeah, that's just what goes on. All right, I want to tell you guys, call in now. Two tickets to the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 happening Sunday, July 20th at the Monster Mile Dover Motor Speedway. Caller number 5-410-583-1057. Up next, we hear from one of the players on the Orioles about Brandon Hyde's firing. Was he happy? Was he angry? Hear it next here on The Fan.